Hello, this is John with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, November 5th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Locals Split on Election Impact, by Annalisa Trofimik and Kelsey Watznauer. Bloomington. The way McLean County Republican Party Chairwoman Connie Beard felt on Wednesday, Election Day, was a victory for the GOP locally. Overall, I am very pleased that the proposed blue wave they thought would sweep over the county didn't materialize, she said, pointing to victories up and down the ballot. At the very top of the ticket, though, there were still questions about whether President Donald Trump would win over challenger Democrat Joe Biden. That was not something Richard Kellerhals of Bloomington was happy about. A second Trump term would mean the country will go downhill fast, he said. It is just terrible the things Trump has done and will do, especially if he gets four more years, Kellerhals said in an interview outside the McLean County Museum of History. The divergent views were apparent as Pantograph journalists fanned out across the area on Wednesday to gauge the remarkable fallout from an election day mired in uncertainty. While some races were decided, the marquee contest, who would become chief executive, hung in the balance even as dusk fell. Rose Kennedy, chairman of the Illinois State University History Department, on Wednesday said the election highlights a continuing shift in American politics. He said more Americans agree with Democratic core issues, and yet the Republican Party is able to prevent the Democratic Party from doing anything and assert their own agenda and ram it through in a quite forceful manner. Beard pointed to GOP U.S. Representative Rodney Davis's victory over Democratic challenger Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan for the 13th Congressional District seat. On Wednesday at 4 p.m., with 99% of the precincts reporting, Davis had 175,883 votes, and Londrigan had 146,399 votes. She also referenced Davis's 2018 win when he came within a percentage point of Londrigan. This was Londrigan's second attempt at the seat. The margin between them was a lot larger in this election, Beard said. That shows the voters learned more about them and they got to know Rodney and Londrigan. Nikita Richards, chairwoman for the McLean County Democratic Party, said, based on voting trends in the region, Davis likely benefited from his ties to Trump. Davis is the honorary co-chair of Trump's re-election campaign. If you take a look at the numbers, you'll see that Trump is favorable in many parts of Illinois, and I believe that played a huge part in trickling down to the Londrigan-Davis race, said Richards. But I'm very proud of the race that Betsy ran, and I think she is and will continue to be an amazing advocate on behalf of constituents in the district. Said Richards, I'm extremely proud of all of the voters. We had record turnout, even during a pandemic. Another point of interest for the party leaders was the county and state's defeat of Governor J.B. Pritzker's proposed tax amendment. The outcome of Tuesday's vote handed Pritzker his first major defeat. The Democrat campaigned on establishing a progressive tax, which he said would make tax payments the same or lower for 97% of the state, while those making more than $250,000 would pay on a graduated scale. There are those who are quick to scream equity and all things diversity and wanting to be inclusive and do right by the black communities. But the truth is, by not passing the amendment, we are hurting those communities, Richards said. She added that she thinks either people who voted on this didn't fully understand the benefits of the proposal, or there was such a showing from people who would prefer to have those making the least in Illinois, some of which are essential workers, pay as much as millionaires. I was really happy that we were able to defeat the tax amendment, considering the widespread effort and millions of dollars poured into that by the governor, said Beard. And not only the county, but the state turned this down. But Joe Zacklin of Bloomington said he thought Illinoisans were paranoid about the tax amendment and assumed taxes will be raised even without the amendment passing. The graduated income tax was supposed to be a good deal, he said Wednesday in downtown Bloomington. It's just, I think people are afraid that as soon as you say your taxes can go up, and I think politicians can do that at any time, I think it scared a lot of people. Politics aside, local election officials who worked all night on Election Day said the process after the polls closed went smoothly. Tim Mitchell, executive director of the Bloomington Election Commission, said the unofficial Bloomington election results were posted by 12:20 a.m., but they will still have to process mail-in ballots in the coming weeks. There are currently 1,727 votes by mail ballots that have not been returned to the office, said Mitchell. The ballots postmarked Tuesday have until November 17th to arrive. Two Bloomington election judges spent the day canceling mail-in ballots for voters who received ballots in the mail but showed up to polling places to cast their ballots in person. Overall, turnout was a little over 70%, Mitchell said. We canceled a total of 2,690 vote-by-mail ballots for voters who wanted and were able to vote in person. Unofficial results in McLean County were posted around 11 p.m., according to clerk Kathy Michael. Rural areas such as Hayworth and Leroy had voter turnout at 70% several hours before the polls closed at 7 p.m. I think, honestly, for as busy as we anticipated this election to be, and it was, the fact that we anticipated that and started getting prepared months ago helped it go as smoothly as it did, said Michael. The county on Wednesday received 50 mail-in ballots postmarked November 2nd. Michael said it is possible but not likely that they could receive 3,000 to 4,000 in the coming weeks. I am extremely proud of all of the voters. We had record turnout even during a pandemic, said Nikita Richards, chairwoman for the McLean County Democratic Party. Bloomington Normal and Illinois State Police also reported no incidents of civil unrest overnight into Wednesday. Nationally, there were scattered protests took place from Washington, D.C. to Washington State in the hours after polls closed, and Pritzker called the Illinois National Guard to alert in case of unrest. We've been preparing for the worst and hoping for the best, and it sounds like last night was the best. Not too busy based on the activity log, said John Furman, public information officer for Bloomington Police. I'm not sure exactly how it'll play out in the next few days, but our stance is we're prepared to handle any type of civil disturbance, said Brad Park, community services officer for Normal Police. What happens next? The party leaders have similar ideas. Beard advised McLean County residents to not pay too much attention to national media coverage of the presidential race. Be patient and allow the official election authorities to do their job, Beard said. Don't try to second guess what may or may not be happening. Said Richards, regardless of the outcome of the presidential election, it is up to us as constituents to hold elected officials accountable. The next front page story is headlined, New Restrictions, a Crushing Blow to Bars, Restaurants. Some patrons call mitigations smart when virus spreads. By Paul Sweech. Normal. The first day of state COVID-19 restrictions on bars and restaurants in McLean County was met with frustration by business owners and managers on Wednesday, but understanding by several patrons. It seems very unfair that all the blame is being put on us, said Lucas Rokos, general manager of Pub 2, 102 North Linden Street, Normal. We are the only ones being mitigated. But two of his patrons, Clay Burton and Alex Storm, both 23, called the restrictions smart. It saves people from getting sick, said Burton of Mahomet. Rokos, Burton, and Storm spoke on Wednesday afternoon in Pub 2's Beer Garden, just hours after the state's resurgence mitigations took effect in Region 2, comprised of 20 central Illinois counties, including McLean, Livingston, Woodford, Tazewell, LaSalle, and Marshall. The restrictions on bars and restaurants announced on Sunday by Governor J.B. Pritzker and the Illinois Department of Public Health specify no indoor service, all outdoor service ending at 11 p.m., and all patrons seated outside must be at tables 6 feet apart. In addition, meetings and social gatherings are limited to 25 people or 25% of room capacity, whichever is less. The state's rationale was that the COVID positivity rate in the region had exceeded 8% for 3 straight days. But Rocco said it's unfair for restaurants and bars to bear the brunt of the COVID restrictions. This is the type of business where people come in and take their masks off to eat and drink, he said. For the most part, people have been wearing their masks, but I've had to tell more patrons recently to wear their masks. I think people are getting tired. Fortunately, right now, we have this fantastic November weather, Rocco said, as several patrons dined and drank in the beer garden. He hopes to continue outdoor service as long as possible this fall. After that, he will rely on curbside food pickup. I'm hoping, at best, this only is going to go on for a month, Rocco said. He hopes that winter weather means fewer house parties and a decline in COVID cases. Molly Bradle, an owner of Rosie's, 106 East Front Street, Bloomington, called the new restrictions a crushing blow. Since the pandemic, we have operated more like a restaurant, she said. Rosie's closes at 10 p.m. and has followed public health rules, including spacing tables 6 feet apart and having hand sanitizer on each table. We're not trying to pack people in, Bradle said. We're just trying to stay alive. It's awful what's happening to us. We still have staff to pay, and federal assistance money is gone, she said. While the weather was nice on Wednesday, Bradle said, after this week, everything needs to be reevaluated. This will be the final straw for some businesses, Rocco said. Burton, having a beer with Storm of Normal, said, it sucks for the businesses, but it's for the better good. I had the virus, Burton said. I got it from a bar in downtown Bloomington. It was awful. It was like a really bad cold for 5 days. I didn't want to get out of bed. Burton stayed in his room and was cleared to go out in public again a week ago. He said his advice to people is, if you don't have time to kill and can't afford to be away from work, don't be stupid. At the beer garden at Muggsy's, 1310 North Main Street, Bloomington, Susan Carnahan, 62, of Hudson, was finishing lunch with her daughter, Emma Bowles, 28, of Bloomington. I'm all for it, Carnahan said of the restrictions. It needs to be done to get rid of all this, Bowles said. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get back to real life, Carnahan said. I don't think Pritzker sucks. He's trying to save our lives. Carnahan's mother, Ramona Sargent, died of COVID on May 1st at the age of 91. Bowles said her advice to people is, suck it up and wear a mask. I've known people who said it, COVID-19, was a hoax until it affected them, and now they're wearing a mask. If everybody would act right, it would be over. As my mother used to say, everything in life is not going to be fun for you, Carnahan said. Meanwhile, McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp and Sheriff John Sandage issued a joint statement saying they are not aware of criminal penalties outlined in the governor's orders and that violation of the order is not a violation of the state criminal code. But ignoring physical distancing recommendations could lead to violation of a criminal statute, such as trespassing, if a patron refuses to leave a business after being asked to do so, Knapp and Sandage said. Like our colleagues, we ask that all citizens respect each other's views and do your best to keep yourself and your loved ones safe during these unprecedented times, their statement read. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner wrote in a letter to Pritzker that he is concerned about the COVID mitigations and their impact on bars and restaurants. Rokos and Bradle asked people to support small businesses, and Carnahan said government is going to have to help small businesses. We're hurting right now, Rokos said. We may not be here when the pandemic is over, Bradel said. The next story is entitled Vigil Seeks Peace in Community by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. The central message of a post-election prayer vigil Wednesday night was the work of building peace and unity begins with each of us and should begin today. 16 people from different faith communities spread that message through words, prayers, and song in an online vigil sponsored by Wesley United Methodist Church of Bloomington and the McLean County Interfaith Alliance. The Reverend Sarah Isbell of Wesley United Methodist Church, one of the event's organizers, concluded the presentation with a list of suggestions on how to start. Get to know your neighbors. Volunteer. Give blood. Seek out opportunities for greater understanding and bridge building. The messages were recorded before Election Day, and the video was shown via YouTube on the church's website, with those watching able to make comments through the live chat function. This is what community looks like, commented Mother Molly Ward, co-chair of the Interfaith Alliance and director of spiritual care for Carl Broman Medical Center and Carl Eureka Hospital, who was recently appointed to the Bloomington City Council. Speakers included representatives of Protestant and Catholic churches, as well as the Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, Baha'i, Buddhist, and other faith communities. We all have this in common, said Isbell. We believe in peace and unity. Ward read a prayer asking for government officials to be granted wisdom and grace in the exercise of their duties, and to those who make our laws, give courage, wisdom, and foresight to provide for the needs of all our people and to fulfill our obligations in the community of nations, and teach our people to rely on your strength and accept their responsibility to their fellow citizens that they may elect trustworthy leaders. Rabbi Rebecca Dubow of Moses Montefiore Temple in Bloomington, among the founders of the Interfaith Alliance, noted, "Our world is often frightening and broken." She prayed, "You are the giver of peace. Give us a desire for peace greater than a desire for power." Imam Saad Palwala of the Islamic Center of McLean County said, "Living in this time and age, my brothers and sisters, it requires a lot of patience. Staying optimistic, having hope in the mercy of Allah, never becoming despondent in the mercy of Allah, let us try to make a change, starting from ourselves." The same theme was echoed in a hymn played and sung by Jana Schopp and Lisa Wielander of St. Patrick's Catholic Church of Myrna and St. Mary's Catholic Church of Bloomington, with the refrain, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." Those who missed the vigil and would like to view the video can find the link at wesley-umc.com/2020/10/prayer-vigil. The next article is entitled, "Illinois Politics Professors See Potential Gridlock After Election," by Lenore Sabota. Normal. Four university professors who follow politics and political behavior think little will change in Washington, D.C., even after Tuesday's final election results are known and gridlock is likely. But the close presidential election is not necessarily a bad thing, they say. They're nail-biters and prevent us from sleeping, said Carrie Melita, associate professor of politics and government at Illinois State University. But close races are good. They're a sign of a healthy democracy. What isn't good is the increasing entrenchment with each side seeing the other as evil rather than just having a different view, said Ryan Burge, an assistant professor of political science at Eastern Illinois University. We need compromise, said Burge. That can't happen when each believes the other side is evil. That's not the kind of language we need to get things done. He said, "The reality is not much is going to get done over the next couple of years. The only things that will happen are what has to happen, budget bills and probably a coronavirus stimulus package." Lane Crothers, professor of politics and government at ISU, said the Senate and House, still held by opposite parties and little desire to compromise, the president, whether it's incumbent Donald Trump or Democratic challenger Joe Biden, will have trouble accomplishing things. "We're going to end up in a similar situation that we have now," said Crothers. "The divisions we've been experiencing for a while are unlikely to change." "Each side tries to delegitimize the other side," he said. "We are so intense in our certainty of our correctness and the other side's wrongness." Greg Shaw, professor of political science at Illinois Wesleyan University, said the country has entered an era of strategic obstructionism, where each side works to prevent the other from getting credit for accomplishing its goals. "It used to be just in election years. Now it's all the time," said Shaw. Like Burge, Shaw must do actions like passing the budget will proceed. But other big issues, such as health care costs and Social Security insolvency, will be pushed aside. The blue wave that some predicted would not only sweep Biden into the White House, but also flip the Senate, didn't happen, said Burge. Instead, Biden appears to have captured the blue firewall that Hillary Clinton lost in 2016, he said. The big thing across the board is everyone expected a major mobilization of Democrats. That, in fact, was a major mobilization of everyone, said Crothers. Very little got resolved Tuesday. At one time, close races meant each side was appealing to the middle, but that's not the case in recent years. "It's like a two-humped camel," said Shaw. "The electorate hasn't vacated the middle, but there's a definite dip." Democrats and Republicans were mobilized by very different presidential campaigns. Biden had social distant parking lot events, while Trump stayed with his huge rallies, often with people close together and not wearing face coverings. "I think their campaign styles were very reflective of who they are as people and who they are or would be as president," said Melita. The next story is entitled, "Brady to Quit Top GOP Senate Job," by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. The Illinois Senate Republican Caucus will be getting a new leader, and the current one, Bill Brady of Bloomington, might be preparing another run for higher office. In a memo sent Tuesday morning to Republican caucus members, Brady said he would not seek re-election as Senate Minority Leader, a post he has held since 2017. In his announcement, Brady said, "When I was elected leader, I said I would not pursue any other elective office during my leadership of the caucus. While my decision not to seek re-election as Senate Republican Leader may close this chapter, it by no means is the final word on my desire to serve our state and tackle those challenges." That is leading to speculation that Brady may make another run for governor. He was not available for comment Tuesday afternoon. Brady was the Republican candidate for governor in 2010, losing to Democrat Pat Quinn. He lost Republican primary races for governor in 2006 and 2014. He has served in the Illinois Senate since 2002. Prior to that, he was a state representative from 1993 to 2001. Brady's announcement comes a day after Governor J.B. Pritzker suffered a stinging election defeat when the progressive income tax measure that was a key Pritzker initiative was rejected by voters. The process for selecting a new caucus leader will begin November 17th when the veto session convenes. Senate President Bill Harmon, Democrat of Oak Park, said in a statement, "Bill quietly and effectively advocated for the Republican senators and the communities they represent. He understood that conflict for nothing more than the sake of conflict is counterproductive." Harmon added, "While we approach challenges from different political perspectives, I have appreciated Bill's focus on getting things done and his understanding and willingness to work with others to find success. I wish Bill all the best. And the next item is entitled Londrigan Concedes to Davis by Allison Petty. Springfield. Democrat Betsy Dirksen Londrigan has conceded to incumbent Republican Rodney Davis in the 13th Congressional District. Londrigan released the following statement shortly before 2 a.m. Wednesday. I'm beyond thankful for each and every person who has volunteered countless hours of time and support to our campaign. At every turn, when hurdles were thrown up, we figured out how to clear them and keep running strong. I wish we had been able to clear this last hurdle, but I could not be more proud of the campaign we've run, the issues we've addressed, and the effort we've put into reaching out to voters. Democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires each of us to do our part, and that doesn't stop. Elections come and go. Representatives come and go. The job of the American citizen is constant. It was Londrigan's second attempt to flip the seat 2 years after she came within a percentage point of Davis in the 2018 election. The competitive race garnered national attention. The Associated Press had called the race for Davis late Tuesday night. With 599 of 602 precincts reporting, he had 170,758 votes to Londrigan's 142,076. And here's an item entitled, City of Lincoln Sets Pre-Filing Dates. Those wanting to run for public office for the City of Lincoln will have the opportunity to file. Lincoln City Clerk Peggy Bateman released a pre-filing notice for those seeking to run for office. Bateman said those interested can come to City Hall from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. starting November 16th until November 23rd to submit candidate petitions for the consolidated primary that will be held February 23rd, 2021. The offices that will be included in the upcoming election will be mayor, city clerk, city treasurer, alderman from wards 1, 2, 3, and 4 for a 4-year term, and ward 2 will have a 2-year term open. And here's an item entitled, Dems Postpone Madigan Hearing. Springfield. The chairman of an Illinois House committee investigating misconduct by Speaker Michael Madigan has postponed Thursday's hearing. Democratic Representative Emanuel Chris Welch issued a statement Wednesday saying that the committee is awaiting delivery of a great number of records from ComEd, the utility company at the center of a statehouse bribery scandal. Welch said without the records, during a surge in the coronavirus pandemic, meeting would be fruitless and unsafe. ComEd admitted in a deferred prosecution agreement signed with the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Illinois in July that its top administrators offered no-work lobbyist jobs and subcontracts to allies of Democrat Madigan in exchange for favorable legislation. Madigan is identified in the document only as House Speaker. He has not been charged with a crime and denies wrongdoing. Last month, Welch accused Republicans who filed the charge that prompted the committee's probe of using it as a platform from which to campaign for Tuesday's election and promptly postponed proceedings until after its conclusion. House Republican Leader Jim Durkin of Western Springs said Welch was stonewalling. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for November 5th. Please stay tuned.